Hey everyone, it's Rosanna Arquette here, your guide for all radical musings. I want to quickly talk about dysfunction. You know, everyone has some sort of dysfunction in their life, right? I mean, I know I do. I mean, talk about dysfunctional. When does shit ever truly go according to plan? Sometimes we just have to look at the humor in our idiosyncrasies, right? I mean, hello dysfunction as in the podcast. Hello dysfunction. Yup. This series is hosted by two childhood best friends, Pata Fria and Crystal, as they share personal stories of their own dysfunction. Nothing is off limits and everything is funny. They talk about their lives, their view on the news, gossip, politics. This is really good stuff. Check out Hello Dysfunction on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello out there. How's everyone doing? Everyone hanging in there? Oh my God. I was like pacing my room back and forth and back and forth like a caged animal. I was a caged lion, just was trying to get my anxiety out. But hello, hi, it's me, Rosanna Arquette, and this is a very special episode. I talked to someone I truly admire and love like a brother, because he is my brother, David Arquette. I love him so much. He's one of the most, the kindest, most honest, funny, artistic, brilliant human beings that I know. And I get it. You may be thinking it's some sort of Hollywood nepotism. In truth, I'd adore David even if he weren't my brother, because he's such a unique person. He's actually rather difficult to define. He's totally original, sensitive, hilarious, a filmmaker, actor, professional wrestler, awesome father, amazing, amazing, amazing father. And he's got an extraordinary documentary, You Can't Kill David Arquette. And I'm telling you, not just because I'm his big sister, it really is a fantastic documentary. And even though we're family, it isn't always easy to catch up with each other. I mean, I was able to get some time with him just before the 2020 presidential election. David just drove across the country with his family, including my two young nephews relocating to Tennessee. So his documentary called The You Cannot Kill David Arquette is out now on Hulu, Amazon Prime Video, and Netflix, basically anywhere you can stream movies. It's so good. Please see it. Check out our little family reunion as we talk about life changes and growing up Arquette style. David Arquette, welcome to my show, Radical Musings.
I love it, bro. I'm so happy. Now,
well, I have to thank you for that, because you introduced me to Jared. Who is the producer of this, Jingle Jared. And that's why this happened, because you introduced us. So thank you.
Awesome. He's the best.
Even if you were not my baby brother, I would have you on the show. I would want David Arquette on the show because of the documentary that I saw, You Can't Kill David Arquette.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I know it must have been hard for you to watch.
Well, it was hard for me to watch, but if you weren't my brother, I would want you on the show, because I think it's just such an incredible journey, and it's so moving. It's really hardcore, but your passion of wanting, loving wrestling and putting yourself in this world, and then, you know, being humiliated in the world and going back and really going back in there. I mean, I'm telling everybody, I just told Jane Fonda she to watch it. I tell everybody to see it, because it's really, really a great documentary, and I'm so proud of you for doing it. Are you still wrestling?
Not really. If I do again, it would be just a tag team, and that's a lot more controllable, because RJ City's my tag team partner. But I don't know. It's getting longer and longer away from it, and you know, I go to start Scream 5 and on Monday, so.
Okay, so tell us about, you're going to Scream with the original cast? Well, a lot of them are dead, but. A few of them are alive, you?
Yeah, Courtney Cox and Neb Campbell.
So Neb.
And then Marley Shelton is also, she was in Scream 5, 4, so she's made it to Scream 5.
And so you just made the move. You were actually born in the South. You were born in Virginia. We come from a really creative, crazy, but brilliantly funny family. And we have our parents to thank for living that way, and growing up that way.
And how is it that you just made a move with your whole family to the South?
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. We did it during COVID. We had planned it sort of before, but we had these pods dropped off and then COVID happened. So we just ended up packing all the stuff and then telling the guys to ship it out. And then we drove out and unpacked. It's kind of crazy.
All the stuff that you were going to get rid of, you brought with you?
Yeah, we're going to try to go through it because I've been collector for a long time and I just don't want to like just, you know, just toss it or something or donate it. But I'm going to end up donating a ton of it, but I just want to go through it properly. So that's been a process. But we showed up and this is kind of crazy. There are spiders, brown recluse spiders everywhere in this house.
Eight-legged freaks in your own house.
I know. It was like the complete, it was a complete like, oh, I don't know. It was payback for that film or something. But if you don't know, brown recluse spiders, mainly in the South, mainly in Tennessee, and mainly come out during the summertime, right, when we came here. So it was just like
they can kill you, right? They're like really
poisonous. They're poisonous, yes. They're highly poisonous. They can kill you. They definitely can kill you. They're not like black widows, but they are. I mean, they're poisonous. Yeah, so we went from like pandemic. Christina already, when the pandemic hit, the night of the first like shutdown, our internet went out and she was like, this is it. It's the end of the world. Everything's ending. You know, it was just this crazy thing. So it was like this fear element. And then we come into a house and now the fear's inside the house and they're everywhere. It was so, it's been just so crazy. It's been
and on top of it, you're married to Christina, who is is also the producer of this movie and quite an extraordinary producer, I have to say. She's on it. She's so organized and the way, and so for her to panic and be a mom of two young small boys.
No, it's incredible.
And your wife.
Yeah.
Supportive of you doing these crazy situations, putting yourself in these insanely dangerous situations. How are you doing it as a dad, as an artist? I mean, you're about to go away and do a movie with your ex-wife. Which is all good. You guys are all friends and everything's cool. But how are you managing to make this work?
I think it's been hard on everybody. I mean, it's especially hard. Like the kids are just kind of like, you know, in this pod. We haven't, you know, been going out. I mean, go out to get, you know, food and whatever, but it's been challenging. You know, we don't have just everything. We don't have anything. It's just me, my wife, my mother-in-law, which has been an incredible blessing. But
because she's become like she helps you with the kids. And so instead of having a nanny, you got Grammy, you know, right?
But, you know, this whole thing happened and we were supposed to be at South by Southwest with the movie and that got canceled. And then we did like a little like family screening at the house before COVID all kicked in, and it kicked in like the next day. And then so Christina had to like produce and finish the film with Super Limited Neon, the company that is releasing it, just all like virtually and do all this stuff. And she finished two films at the same time. It's been insane. It's just been a lot. And then we went off and we filmed a movie at the beginning of COVID. We pushed it and we work with these guys at HCT Media. We did this film called Ghosts of the Ozarks and this company called Devil Tub Productions. And we went to Jonesboro, Arkansas and filmed a film, like one of the first films during COVID. We had to do all this COVID prep and everyone had to quarantine in this hotel. And you know, we had to provide food every day. People had to wear masks and get their temperature checked and take tests all the time. And then,
it's a new world, right? This is the way it's going to be, but you're like the pioneers of it. I think you guys did it before anybody, before people were really going back to work, you were doing it.
Yeah. It was this company, HCT Media, that really did the on the ground stuff and Devil Tub Productions. But we did it remotely, and then I went there. And yeah, it's an interesting film, though. It's with Tim Blake Nelson, who's a dear friend of mine. So it's great to work with him again. Yeah.
Did he direct you in a movie?
Yeah, he directed The Gray Zone.
Yeah, that was so good.
We worked together 4 times now. We met years ago.
I know. I love that you have that friendship. Yeah. So, and do you like, how is it being in this, with the climate of the world right now, living in the South?
Yeah, that's intense, man. It's intense. Like, we live in a place where there's, a Confederate statue in the, town square, and Trump signs everywhere. And, it's, I don't know. What's going on right now is just so insane. I just can't even. I'm just praying. I think a lot of it's just so scary at the moment. Just until we know after this election what's going on. It just feels like the whole world is crazy. It's just so insane right now.
It really is. It's a darkness. Like, I know. I wake. Reading the news, and sometimes I need to shut it off, but I don't do it. And I think I create all this anxiety for myself by just constantly being in and knowing what's going on at all moments. And it's never taking a break from it. But then you take a break for 24 hours and you can't believe the shit that happened in one day. It's like, you know what's going on.
My friend hasn't watched the news in 2 years or something.
And how is he? Is he happy?
He kind of is happy. Yeah, he's kind of just like, what's going on? I know. Seriously, I'm like, wow.
Hey, are you voting? Make sure he votes. You better bring that person to that voting booth and let him know.
I know. Just too much.
But
I just really, my whole thing's like kindness, love, and trying to get that in myself and live by that. It's even hard, but. This is bananas. people are crazy. I don't know.
It's true.
Love wins, kindness wins. We all start being nicer.
Yes.
There's more light in the world.
And that is exactly what we need. That's what we need from everybody, especially in our pods, in our families, in our in our own communities. And that's how we can make the world better, is concentrate on our own families and communities and in the small ways, and then that can grow. That's what I hope can happen for us. I mean, we come from a great family that, we're all out there. We're all got voices. We're all activists. We all have our opinions. And you're talking about your young son and that he's, got a strong, he sounds like an Arquette.
Yeah, Charlie, they're all really wild. They're all
like authority.
Charlie's got a lot of just a big personality, very challenging and questioning everything. I was talking to my therapist about it. He's like, it's hard because you're dealing with traits that'll serve him well as an adult, but as a kid, as a parent, it's just hard. And you read all these things and how to deal with stuff, but I find myself especially we did this car ride across the country, and it's just after hours of please, can you please, guys, come on, I'm trying to drive. Will you just shut up? And then it's you've lost all the momentum that you did on the good parenting side, and then you feel just terrible about it. And,
I think that we're dealing in it because of the pandemic and because everybody's been in closed quarters with their families, and they're, it is so challenging for every relationship across the board that I know. It has been in my marriage, and if it wasn't for somebody I interviewed today, which is Rabbi Finley, who has this whole thing about communication and helping, it helps with that a lot. But my God, has it been challenging for everybody. I mean, how do you say, I don't want to be with somebody 20, I love my husband, but I don't want to be with anybody 24/7.
I know, it's true. Nobody can, you can't. It's like, it's too much. It's all too much.
I'm going to be working from home all the time now. I was like, what? it's like, wait a minute. I like you going to work, and it's like, please go to work.
I don't feel it.
Are you cooking? Are you doing other, because you've always been a hands-on dad. I mean, you're helping you with the kids. And you've been like the great, you're like the clown dad too. Because you went to clown school, right?
No, I was a honorary clown at Ringling's for one day only. No, so I didn't really go to like official clown school, but that's on the bucket list.
So Davey, what music are you listening to right now? Yes, that to Jane.
No, I haven't been exploring new music at all. I'm like a big Otis Redding kind of guy. You know, we lived close to Memphis, so you know that whole Stax, like the whole scene on there, and Otis Redding, Sam Cooke.
Yes,
you know, I love. But I also love Led Zeppelin and all the.
Well, old James Brown, you know.
Oh, old James Brown is the best. Aretha Franklin.
And you know, I like one of my favorite records, and I listen to it often when I feel bummed, and I actually listen to it. Is the Aretha Franklin's gospel record that she did? It's live gospel record. What's it called? Such an incredible record. But it has "Mary, Don't You Weep for Me" and all this. And that is just the killer record to listen to. And so what are you doing? Like, you've got a production company. Tell me everything that you're up to.
Yeah, Christina's just like turned out to be this powerhouse producer. She's just been. The only problem is she takes on so much, and right now we can't have anybody around. So it's like she's doing everything on her own. So that's just been super hard for her, and just in general. But yeah, we've been developing a bunch of stuff. We have, you know, I have a film coming out this week. I think it was the film, Christina's first film that she produced, called 12 Hour Shift.
Yeah, I saw that.
HCT Media and Devil Tub Again. And then a movie called Blackjack, the Jackie Ryan story, which is about a notorious New York City street ball player. And it's really a love story and a love for basketball story. So it's a really sweet film with my friend Danny A, who directed it, Danny Aberhasker. And then, then I go off to do Scream. There's a few other things coming down, but that's mainly, we started a documentary film company called XTR with Bryn Mooser. He's been great. He's just an incredible like taste for films. And, you know, we have a bunch of documentaries.
Your director, right? For your documentary, right?
No, he was one of the producers. The director was David Darg and Bryce James. But okay. David Darg and Bryn Mooser started Riot together.
That's where.
That's sort of how we met. And then we all started XTR.
Cool.
Yeah, that's been really cool. I mean,
the next documentary is somebody, who are you doing? A big documentary. So.
Yeah, we're doing Magic Johnson's documentary. I mean, just part of it, yeah. But there's a lot of people involved in that. That's a really huge one. New Slate Media is a really incredible company that's behind that.
And yeah. So what are you doing? Like, when you feel shitty and depressed, because we all can go there, not God knows I do that. What do you do to get yourself out of it? You know, like the old days, you know, we would all do, you know,
drink, have a smoke of weed. Yeah.
So I know. What do you do for yourself? Now, you gave me a great book.
Yeah. Love yourself like your life depends on it. And the Untethered Soul. Those two were really helpful just during this period. Exercise, getting out, walking and stuff when I can. but exercise is something that I've noticed really brings my anxiety level down a lot. You know, I'm on some medications, just little like stuff. I went to this naturalist who like did all my panels and all this stuff. And I'm like on these different amino acids. And I know it kind of sounds silly, but DHEA, or I don't even know what the heck they are, but they're like, I seem to be helping a little, but it is a roller coaster. I mean, I had some bad times, like when I yell at my kid, you know, that'll stick with me for a while, and I just beat myself up like nobody.
Well, came from that.
I know, and it's like something I'm trying to like deal with. You know what I mean? There's all these like trauma eggs we have that are like revealing their faces. You know, it's just really hard to like come to terms with them. But and I try to like deal with it in a way that's, you know, positive. But you know, relationships are really difficult, and our parents had a really, you know, kind of volatile thing. And
we had drama. It was a lot of drama in our family.
Drama, a lot of it. But it's like, it's part of our soul. I mean, I see it in Charlie. He's like, you know, before he even knew anything about anything, he's like behaving this way. So it's like generational. I mean, this is not something that's only like because our parents had that type of relationship. It's like,
it's in our DNA. I think it is.
Like a trigger. And then like, what I do like about getting older is you notice it more, and you can kind of like catch up with the anger. Like you can like, oh, what's this feeling? You know, and then you can try to address it, but sometimes it just comes too quick. And then you're like, ah.
I think our whole family, because of we all have triggers and we're all reactive. Like everybody can react and it's and get hurt. And I know just even for myself, triggered or being hurt, and I will respond like the 14-year-old girl that left home and hitchhiked across the United States. Like I come from that place. I'm not my adult self. I'm like a grown woman, and I totally respond like a hurt 14-year-old every time.
So do I. Yeah. Go punk rock. I get like, ah.
Yeah.
No, fuck it. Wow, let's burn the house down.
Yeah. Well, we had a father. I mean, our father was an actor and a musician, and he was just a great, great guy. He had his demons, but also the more I've learned about childhood trauma and what sexual trauma can do, like he was put in a and he was beautiful, like a beautiful blonde, gorgeous child, 6 years old in military school. Mm-hmm. And you can bet your ass that he was, for sure. I will bet money that he was molested. Something happened to him. I can feel it in my soul because the way his whole thing, how he covered it up and it's up. And I think mom kind of let me feel that was right too. And that can bring up a lot of stuff in people. But I remember his reactions when he would have like these, his opera anger.
Oh yeah. That's the funniest.
And we have no money. And he like slammed like.
I know. They were like, you can't yell anymore. But how about singing? Oh, now we have. They're gonna get ahead.
Did you remember that? It's like, yeah. And so is in by growing up around it. It was like literally drama. And so it was like was that something that was instilled in us so that, you know, we looked for that. And so, you know, I know in my life, like I participated in that. And now I just like, I hate it so much that I actually shut down. I've shut down from it. Like not to say that I don't react. I'm not react. I mean, I definitely am reactive sometimes, but I'm working on it, still work in progress. But knowing that that kind of energy is like in our DNA, like, and we all do it. Like I've seen it in my kid and, you know, I chose somebody who had that in his own life.
But what's that about? Like we choose people who are literally like somehow kind of like not exacerbate it, but bring it to the surface so we have to face it. Like, you know what I mean? Like all of our relationships just seem like, I don't know, for me at least, all my relationships seem like it goes to some place within our, you know, I don't know, it's triggering or something, or it's making me look at something, or it's bringing something up in me that I have to like figure out. I'm just, I don't know if I need to start meditating more. I just try, but I can't. I mean,
it's shutting your mind down. to calm down? It's like your mind is always chattering.
My mind's chattering, yeah, a lot. My thing is I literally just want to have fun and be silly. Like, I want everyone to have fun. I want to do crazy things. And like, let's all go laugh and be silly. I just don't like the seriousness of life. It gets so,
I know. And that's the great part of you. And we don't want that to ever go away. And that shouldn't ever go away. You can laugh and be silly and have fun. It's such a really beautiful part of you. One of the things, there's a scene in your documentary where the doctor is actually showing your brain, and showing, you know, the parts of your brain that are, you know, and I actually, you sent me to that doctor. So like, I think we all have, there's like this, you know, we have psychedelic brains.
Yeah, totally.
And a little, you know, a little, definitely ADD, and having, not being able to really super concentrate and,
for sure. But, you know, I tried like ADD medication, but it's like a little bit of speed. And then it's like, I was great for like a week. And then I was like, that's where the yelling started. I was like, and then I was like, I can't stop raising my voice.
No, this is not good for you. I'm not in.
No, I stopped it.
No, I know you stopped a long time ago. Thank God. I'm glad you're going on the natural route. And it is, dealing with our own demons and learning how to just live in a peaceful way is sometimes really challenging when the world around us is not peaceful. And that's, I don't know, the people that are able to keep their cool in stressful situations, you know, I'm always in awe because I, you're an empath too. And I am, most of our family is. And so we can actually pick up the energy of other people around us. Like, I am a sponge for like someone's anger, like who's next, like who's, I can feel it. And actually it's toxic for me. I go into complete anxiety and get so anxious.
Yeah.
Are you an on time person, Davey?
I'm a so on time person. Like, it upsets me a lot when I'm not on time.
So I'm the same way. So like, I'm always like half an hour early or 15 minutes early like every meeting. That's because funny. I think we came from a family that our mom, like she just didn't have the time thing.
Mom left me in a park one time after an art class. Yeah. She'd forgotten to pick me up. And I'm sitting at like Barnsdale Art Place.
How old are you? Like 10?
Sun goes down. I'm like 10 maybe. The sun goes down. Like literally like a couple hours or an hour and a half or something after the sun goes down. I'm like, just walked around this park. I didn't know what to do. And then she finally showed up and she was like, oh, I'm a little freaked out that she forgot me.
Like, oh my God. Thinking that, like, and you're a kid that could have been kidnapped in a park in like East LA.
It's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, the time things.
There's a lot of problems. What are we going to do about them? We have, like, the bottom line is, like, we can't fix them all, and we could just fix what's going on in our own thoughts, our own families. And if we can fix that, then maybe we can fix what's going on in the world, but we have to start there. Isn't that it?
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, you know, it's literally in here, you know, all of it. Like, all the fixing needs to be done right here. Because I think we're all super connected in a way that no one can really understand. You know, I think, like, I was driving, I've driven myself across the country, which is pretty intense, but I was like thinking about Christina and kind of, I was like, I wonder, because I knew it was at night and I knew she was asleep. So I was like kind of sending her like, I love you and all this stuff. And and I called you and was like, did you have any dreams or anything? She's like, yeah. I was like, we had such a sweet little moment. And I was like, wow. I didn't know if it was real or not. You know what I mean? But I do think there's a lot more connected than.
I agree.
Than we all know.
There's this guy, and I know you get skeptical about that kind of stuff, but he's a healer in Kauai. His name is Howard Wills, and he has the prayers. And he has these prayers that are cleansing prayers. And they're really good. And I say them and they help heal and stuff. And I've noticed by doing them every day, things are starting to open up, you know, healing is happening in places that need to be healed. There, you can see that there's movement in the openness to heal with people, and that's I think that's I do believe that. Like there's the thing that you just said about sending her love. Like, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. You just say that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. When someone you've hurt someone or and you say it over and over and over. You could say it for hours and just like and then you'll get the phone call.
I love myself thing. Yeah. So what is it now?
I'm sorry.
What was?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. That's not Howard Wills, although that is a Hawaiian thing. He has a thing that is like, well, his, you can look him up, Howard Wills prayers. But anyway, I do believe that there is energy in that. It's what it is it is, we're connected and that is energy. She and your wife did feel that when you were saying that. It is, it's real. Believe that.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard to stay positive all the time, though. You know what I mean? You try to, and then like, and also like, do you feel like sometimes it's just, whoa, there's like something going on in the universe right now that's making like, ooh, like, oh man, like everything is.
Well, we're seeing darkness that we've never seen. Like, well, it's been here, but I guess because of this, because of the internet, because of the interconnectedness of the internet world. We're seeing the racism and darkness and this hate that really does exist and always has. We never saw it in this way. And for that, in the weirdest way,
it's coming out into the light. You know what I mean?
It's
like, that's the good part. Yes. Instead, it's like, yeah.
You're right. I mean, that's what it
was. I have a friend who's a good friend. Known him for years. He moved out to Tennessee before us, and he's voted for Trump. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "Are you?" He's like, "I'm a libertarian." I was like, "Yeah, still." I just didn't even like, you know, I just don't know how to like deal with it. At that point, it's like lines are drawn. It's, you know, you can't be voting for Trump and say like, "I'm not a racist." You may not be a racist. You're okay. It's not a deal breaker that he's a racist. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's just like a 17-year-old kid that drove across the country with his mother and his guns to shoot at protesters that were peacefully protesting in Wisconsin. People who were protesting for Black Lives Matter. Like, I mean, come on. This is. It's what's terrifying is there is. You know, I think there's going to be. There's going to be blood on the streets and that's what's terrifying right now. It's terrifying. And we want to vote. I mean, I do believe Biden, you know, he is a centrist, but I'd rather vote for a good man who's a centrist than a bad man who's a fascist. You know?
Oh, there's a really good documentary that I have out right now that I just have a little part in. Patricia's in it. It's called Kiss the Ground. It's about the soil. And the fact that the soil can be used to help with climate change.
Yeah.
You know, the way we take our plants and everything, the way we feed our livestock, you know.
And that's your, is that you produced it?
I just did a favor for my friends who directed the film and Patricia, because I went to Haiti with her for Give Love.
Right.
But, and she talks about, you know, poop and, you know,
she talks about poop because she has these composting toilets that are really like, you know, pretty great and help the soil in the ground.
Water involved, and you just part of the whole problem with a lot of this stuff is that, you know, the water tables are getting all destroyed with insecticides and pollution and all that stuff,
and fracking, you know, so fracking is very dangerous. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's Jane Fonda just wrote a book when I interviewed her today.
Actually, cool.
And her book is the quintessential What Can I Do book. Everything is in this book about climate change and scientific facts. It's extraordinary. You can get her on Audible reading it, which
I
that's what I like to do it like that because there's so much reading to do. I mean, I was always really like, that's terrible. You can't read a book. You got to listen to people. It was like, now it's like, oh God, on tape. especially a book like this where there's so much dense, intense fact. It's really important.
Yeah, and workouts make it really good. It kind of inspires you. You could like sit on a treadmill or a, you know, on a stationary bike a little longer when you're in a good mood.
Well, it's called What Can I Do? And that came from Captain Keener.
I love Keener.
What else, Davey?
That's about it. I mean, I have a few other little things coming out, but, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Are you done with kids? Or you have a teenage 6-year-old daughter?
No, Christina doesn't want to work. Yeah, I have a 6-year-old daughter, and Gus and Charlie, and she doesn't want anymore. So that's it.
That's okay. Well, I think you're okay too.
No, this has been a
lot. It's a lot. Tell me about your relationship. You have the greatest best friendship with your ex-wife, Courtney, who is also the mother of Coco. And how is that work? Like, you guys all, it's like
Coco's going to go with her, so I'll be able to see her. Like,
oh, I'm so happy. Oh,
she's so sweet. I know. What's that?
She'll miss her little boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. She's got a great boyfriend, River. He's a really sweet guy.
Gorgeous.
Which is nice. You know, she shares a lot more with her mom, but I just love that he's kind of like a sweethearted guy, and he's kind.
Because you are. Because if you had a bad guy, you probably would choose a bad guy. If you were a bad guy, that's usually what happens. They choose your father, and you're like a great guy. She chose a great guy. So good for you, Davey. Thank you for being a great guy. You've always been the best kid. I got to tell you, you were always the sweetest, and you have a kind heart. And this little boy, Gus, your younger son, he's obsessed with Dolly Parton. He loves Dolly Parton, and he sings Jolene, and he's 3, and he's hilarious. So I got a little video that Christina sent me, and, a video of Gus singing Jolene. It is the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I hope Dolly gets that, because it was sent so she could get it. He lives in Tennessee.
No, I can't wait till this pandemic goes. I'm heading right over to Dollywood.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, for your son. That's right. To go to Dolly, the little Dolly.
I love Dolly too. I mean, Dolly's.
Who doesn't love Dolly? She's one of the greatest voices. We all love her. And she's so smart.
And personalities. I mean, her dynamic, the way she, you like watch old interviews with her, she's just always very sharp on her toes and just kind and sweet, like real.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing that I've always like tried to stay in touch with. You know what I mean? Not losing fact on the real part, on the, like, you know, even sometimes the struggles that we have might be hard or whatever, but it does keep you like, you know, not, I don't know. It doesn't, don't get too full of yourself. I mean, I see a lot of people who get kind of caught up in they become a little like almost fake in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, we've met a lot of movie stars and know a lot of people that are famous. And I've seen, both of us have seen a lot of people whose changes when fame can change somebody. My mom was always really, you know, I remember, man, she was just, hardcore about that she's just like, don't change that, don't, you know, ever believe that you're anything better than anybody else because you're famous, doesn't mean anything. Exactly. She instilled that, I think, in all of us. You know,
well, I want to do something. I want to thank you for like breaking down the walls. Like, you came out here and made a name for us in this generation. And you always took care of our family, you know, when you were successful. I just love you so much. I hope you know
I love you so much, and thank you. And I did, well, you guys were we just found a letter of one of my first movies. Patricia is the document, she documents and, you know, letters and pictures, and thank God, because I certainly don't have that in me to document things. I have still, like, I haven't even done my wedding album yet. It's just terrible. And she's really meticulous. And I guess, but there was a letter that was found or in some stuff that we found, and from me to the family when I was doing my first movie with Bette Davis called The Dark Secret of Harvest Home in Ohio, and they gave me, for per diem, I made like $100 and something or $150 a week, which, you know, I think it was like 79 or something. Was, you know, what is that now? $300-400 bucks, right?
Probably.
And I said, I'm sending this to your family, you know, like my extra, my per diem I sent to the family. Because everybody was, you know, my dad was a struggling actor, like with five kids in LA, you know, raising four kids. I left when you were really young. I left home really young. But he was like he made a living as an actor supporting his family, but sometimes it was really hard, like really struggling. And so a lot of times paid the rent and I
absolutely.
I know I think you bought the car, but I wanted it to be like, or you gave me some money for your first Isuzu. Remember the
Isuzu Trooper. Yeah.
I think you like gave me I given it to you, but it was actually important. I knew that it was important for you too, that to like, this is what I think it was mom that said, no, he should pay a little bit. She was trying to like instill that, you know, and it's like, because I would have given it to you. Or did I give it to you? But I think you would give me money.
I think I bought a little. I think it gave me
a grand, like $200 or something. It was like a lot of money for you, but it was like you bought a car, you know?
Well, you know, my first car was a Dodge Dart, and I wasn't able to get a car until I could buy my own car. But it just, I mean, that's kind of how
Isuzu Trooper. It was an Isuzu Trooper.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did you like that car? Did you have it?
It's good. It's hilarious.
I think that's so funny. Yeah, and everybody, I mean, and Patricia had her baby young, and Richmond, our brother Richmond, is a very talented writer and really incredible actor, actually, and activist, hardcore activist. And and we have a great, crazy family, and we lost our Alexis, our cat, 4 years ago.
I'm thinking about her so much lately. I don't know why.
Maybe because Alexis is around you right now to let you know that she's there, and she's around you, and that's what you're feeling her.
Well, I had this really trippy experience where when I was doing the wrestling documentary, I shaved all my, you know, shaved everything. In the documentary, you see me getting waxed. But then I was looking at my arms, and they looked just my arms, not as much my hands, but my arms looked like so much like Alexis's because she used to shave and stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was like, I kind of felt like Alexis is, and she did say something about like, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be around. You know, all this stuff. But I don't know. And then it occurred to me, like, part of the connection with Luke and Alexis, when Luke Perry lived at our house and he's in the film, you know, and we all watched wrestling together. Luke always loved wrestling. And then I was like, oh, like part of this, me doing this wrestling movie is kind of to connect with Alexis in a weird way.
Yes.
Like, and then, well, RJ City says this funny thing. She says, wrestling's like, you know, male, it's like a male drag show. It's you're like in drag. You go backstage at these biggest, toughest guys in the world, but they're all getting spray tanned and they're all waxed up and they're all shiny and like, oh, they're all doing their hair. It's like the most bizarre, like kind of worlds colliding that you'd ever imagine. Everyone's watching their weight and like doing stuff. It's funny.
Alexis was the touchstone of the family. And so when she left 4 years ago, September 11th, it's really been hard on our whole family, a lot of grief and it's been a big hole in on every level, but, through it, David and I and the rest of the family, but David and I focus a lot on it is, the Alexis Arquette Family Foundation that,
you were really instrumental in setting up.
I set it up for the family on behalf of the family so that we could help, you know, eventually it could do great things. But, you know, what we did do that was great was we partnered with Dr. Astrid Hagar of the Violence Intervention Program down in USC Medical Center. And there's now a clinic called the Alexis Project, which helps LGBTQ youth and the community, and helps kids, you know, that are struggling and have counseling. And
But it's not only LGBTQ, right?
Well, the Violence Intervention Program in itself takes care of everyone. Okay. But the Alexis Project is for the LGBTQ community.
And, yeah, the Violence Intervention.
And it was really, because 60% of the kids on the streets are homeless.
I did that movie, John's, and I just...
Well, that's right.
You know, I would go and I would, you know, pay $5 to... I lived right off of Santa Monica. We all hung out at the Formosa. So I'd walk to the Formosa like, you know, a mile or two. And I'd give these guys $5 and I'd say, like, what's the craziest thing that ever happened? You know, what's in your pockets? You don't mind showing me. You know, why are you here? How long have you been out here? Do you do drugs? Like, I had this whole list of questions to ask them. And I was able to do that for like 2 or 3 months. Because I knew I was doing that movie, and
this was your research.
Best research I could ever do. I ran into a guy with a teardrop tattoo, like my character had. He was essentially like my character, and but finally ran into him on the street. Except he was gay, my character was not. But
you're great in that movie.
Learned were all of these kids were on the street because their parents didn't accept them. Like, exactly. Almost every single one I asked was like, yeah, my parents kicked me out. Yeah, my parents hate me. Like, you know, I haven't talked to my parents anymore. And that just like, boom.
I know. When I gave you that trooper, I was living up in the hills of California. Off Mulholland. And I was going to Hollywood Boulevard and interviewing homeless kids. All the time. And I was going to do a movie about homeless kids, and all of them so many had been trafficked, which we didn't really understand. Now we do, like, trafficked is a word, and like that they were being sold for drugs and that's how they would survive, to get drugs and turned into drug addicts. And oh my God, it was, I got heavily involved with some kids, some young girls. And I just wanted to get them back home because they seemed like they were lost here. And they said, yeah, we just need money to get back. And I brought them to, they wanted to take a train. I said, well, what about, I'll buy you plane tickets. You can go on the plane and I'll fly you up there. No, we'll just take a train. Took them to the train station, got on the train, left. And then I went back, like, you know, I was there next week. There they were. They came back and they were on the streets, you know. And you know, I thought, well, but wait a minute. I was trying to help you, but it's like, you know, you can only do so much, and somebody is willing to do what they can do for themselves and change. It takes a lot of willingness, and you have to be willing, and you can't tell anybody what to do and how to do it. That's the lesson. Well, I love you, Davey.
I love you too, Ryan.
And so proud of you. Have fun. Keep in touch with me when you're doing Scream. Give my love to Coco and Courtney, and especially Christina. Please give me
love you honey.
Bye.
Congrats on your new show.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and review Radical Musings to help other listeners find the show, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast to be alerted every time we post a new episode. Radical Musings is brought to you by Audio Up, produced by Krista Liney and Carla Braun, edited by Jeremiah Zimmerman, production support provided by Ashley Ardent, Sam Winter, Tyler Dorson, Emma Rappold, and Richard Regal. Thank you all so much. Ooh, la, la. Audio Up.